You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Kings fans, happy Thursday. You're listening to Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you all sorts of news about your favorite hockey team and mine, the Los Angeles Kings, as we celebrate a win that maybe we shouldn't have won, but we did. We're going to look at last night's win over the St. Louis Blues and all of the ups and the downs and the terror and the shootout and all of the stuff that happened that put the Kings on a winning streak after they somehow, amazingly, awesomely, won that game. Made it way more stressful than they needed to, but here we are. The Kings picked up a win, picked up two more points, and are having themselves a pretty decent homestand, if I do say so myself. In case you are new here, in case this is your first time joining the show, hi, welcome. I am glad that you're here with me to learn all about what's happening with the Kings. My name is Sarah Avampato, host of this show. I've been doing this show for I think this is the third season now of Locked On Kings here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Also, you can read me over at Hockey Royalty, where I occasionally express other thoughts and feelings about the Kings. So today, we're going to look back at that win over the St. Louis Blues. The Kings won 3-2 in the shootout. And so one thing just came to my attention, like right before I started to record the show. And that's the kind of like the game flow chart showing the chances of the Kings winning the game, and the like most of the game, it's just fairly even. You know, the Blues score, so it dips back down towards the Blues. The Kings score twice, dips way back up towards the Kings. And then obviously St. Louis scores, 7 seconds left. And then overtime was just this like roller coaster. One of the things that they in hockey, they quote unquote coaches, players, whatever, always say about teams is that good teams find a way to win. The Kings, we still don't 100% know what they are, but they're finding ways to close out games. Or in the case of this game, they couldn't quite close it out, but they did manage to salvage it in the end. This was a game that the beginning of it was quite honestly pretty dull. First period shots 10-6 in favor of St. Louis. No goals, really not a whole lot of anything happening. Pretty low event hockey, pretty just back and forth. Both of these teams just, I wouldn't say like obviously playing not to lose, it's the first period, but there's not a whole lot exciting happening. It was just a game. Second period, Kings take one penalty. It's an interference call against Alex Edler, and surprise, surprise, the Blues power play does what it has been doing against the Kings since the last two meetings that we had, and Braden Schenn scores to put the Blues up 1-0 in the second period. And I feel like if you were like me, you immediately started having just really bad flashbacks to the game where they scored, what, 4 power play goals, something like that, against the Kings. And you're like, okay, here we go again. Fortunately, it seems like that kind of woke the Kings up, because really, from that point on, the game kind of started getting more exciting. Things started sort of tilting towards the Kings. And while it took until a little bit into the way of the third period for the Kings to score, you kind of got the feeling like, okay, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Arthur Kaliev scores just over 6 minutes into the third period. An amazing shot from him. A great pass from Cale Clegg. Both of those guys, I think, have been really impressive stepping up their game. We talked on the show yesterday about why, like, there's no need to panic about Kaliev kind of moving up and down the lineup. They're eventually going to find the right spot for him. That right spot is top six, but, you know, it's okay that we're waiting, that we're sort of easing him into it, especially as he continues to get power play time and continues to get opportunities like the one that he had here, where Cale Clegg sent a very smart pass to Kaliev, who was essentially almost all alone, put the puck in, and got the Kings there at the time, tying goal. As that period goes on, it goes on some more, and you're like, okay, 1-1, 1-1. All right, maybe we'll get to overtime this way. Okay, cool. Not long after the Kaliev goal, about 6 minutes later, Adrian Kempe, who has, you know, he's still a frustrating player. I feel like he's a whole podcast all of his own. We want him to be less streaky. We want him to be more consistent. We want him to put the puck in the back of the stupid net. But he scored his second of the season. He, on a line with Alex Iafallo, Phil Deneau, both of those guys picked up assists on that play. And this was a play that was, again, all Alex Iafallo. He had the first shot on goal, didn't go in, collected the puck, and then was able to send it back out to Kempe from behind the net. This whole play from the two of them contained some really, really great puck movement between the both of them. But because Kempe is the one who has the puck initially, takes it behind the net, passes the puck to Iafallo, who's coming down towards the net. Iafallo's shot doesn't go in. He collects it, takes it behind the net, cycles it around, and sends it up to Kempe, who's now in front of the net. It was just a great, smart play from the two of them, and a really fun moment because you're like, great, awesome. They found a way to get this done. Alex Iafallo is having a tremendous season so far. He's finally a guy who people are standing up and taking notice of, are, you know, favorite undrafted werewolf son is finally getting some attention from people outside of, you know, just us. Iafallo's great season actually has him second on the points list for the Kings right now. He has 9 points in 10 games, 4 goals, 5 assists, and definitely is having, it has to be, like, the best year of his career so far. His high in goals is 17 that he scored back in 2019-20 in the shortened season. 70 games, 17 goals. I feel like I'm not that good at math, but he's got 4 in 10. If he manages to keep up that pace, that's like a 30-plus goal pace. Do I think he's a 30-plus goal scorer? No, but I do think that he is really having a very strong year in terms of just overall effectiveness. And the great thing is, looking at him in terms of shooting percentage, he is basically right in line with his career shooting percentage, 11.4% right now. He was 11 last year, 12 the year before, 10, just over 10 the year before that. His first year, a little lower, just under 7. But he isn't, this isn't an outlier from him. He is doing exactly what he has done in terms of shooting success all career long. Maybe he's just having a little more shooting luck, puck luck. I don't know. But Alex Iafallo doing really good, is on a noticeable number of plays. Even when it doesn't result in a goal, he is being just having a really big impact. And I'm excited to see what's next. I'm excited to see other people realize what we have here in this guy. Because that's been a long time coming. After this, we're going to look at the rest of the game, some other highlights from it, some lowlights, because that's the way it works. But before we get to that, you should also know about betonline.ag. BetOnline is back and they are better than ever. They took some time to redesign the whole website for the start of basketball season, so it's all shiny and new. You can get more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Whether you're interested in basketball, football, baseball, hockey, fighting, boxing, casino games, whatever it is, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is still the number one spot for all the basketball and football action going on, so head on over to the new updated desktop or mobile website, sign up today, and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. So go on over to betonline.ag, where the game starts. So Kempe scores that goal from Iafallo. Everyone's happy. It's all great. Kings have a lead. Third period is winding down. Jonathan Quick stands strong in net. Everything's looking great. St. Louis pulls their goalie. Jordan Binnington gets pulled with about a minute left in the game. And the Kings get a bunch of chances at that old empty net. Anze Kopitar misses wide, and the Kings are on the power play, so really, you'd think there's not even a reason for them to be playing over in their own end. That shouldn't be a thing. And yet, despite being on the power play with the last minute to go in the game, guess what happens? Torrey Krug scores. Of course Torrey Krug scores. The whole play that leads up to Torrey Krug scoring is just ridiculous. The Kings miss that open net. Anze Kopitar misses it wide. The Blues are the ones who come back out with the puck after it. Again, the Kings are on the power play. So, I don't know, you'd think maybe we want to try a little harder to get that puck. Blues come down the ice with it. There's just an enormous scramble at the net. Jonathan Quick thinks he has it. He lunges forward. He doesn't have it. The shot eventually comes back out to Krug. It bounces off of Kopitar at one point. It was one of those things where, like, and no, it never should have happened. There's 7 seconds left in the game. All you had to do was, like, collect that puck off of that missed net. Well, really, all you had to do was hit that net. But, you know, we shouldn't have been in this position. Torrey Krug should not have been anywhere near the Kings' net with 7 seconds left in the game. But the Kings kind of sat back a little bit after that goal. They sort of, you know, the Blues didn't necessarily take over, but the Kings certainly didn't, you know, score that extra goal. Jordan Binnington was good in this game. We'll talk about him too in overtime because he was fantastic there. So it was also a little frustrating because the Kings had their chances and just couldn't convert, couldn't get it past him. But yeah, St. Louis ties the game up. 7 seconds left. Again, that never should have been an option. You're on the power play. I don't care that they pulled their goalie. Why is this happening? Why is this happening to us? Overtime is all Kings. Phil Deneau has one of the best chances of the game in the dying seconds of overtime. Jordan Binnington, kudos to him, I guess, for making that save. But the Blues had no shots in overtime. So what saved the Blues in overtime was all Jordan Binnington. There were several moments where the Kings definitely should have been scoring in that overtime period. They had 8 shots total in overtime. 2 of those shots were high danger chances. They had the puck for more time. It was just, they should have won that in the 3-on-3 extra frame. They even started it out with some power play time and just could not get past Jordan Binnington. So we move on to the shootout. And thank you to Adrian Kempe, who had one heck of a shot to get things started. Alex Iafallo, who again, continuing his run of strong play, including scoring the shootout goal. And then Arthur Kaliev. You dropped Arthur Kaliev into the shootout. And what happens when one of the league's premier scorers, I'm going to go ahead and call him that. He's not there yet, but he will be. What happens when you let him one-on-one with a goalie? Surprise, he scores a goal. So Arthur Kaliev technically wins the game for the Kings in the shootout. And all is well. The Kings found a way to win this one. And this is what we need to see from this team, is finding a way to win, is finding a way to close out these games. Because we have seen this team over and over again this season, last season, whatever, lose these games in the final minutes. We have seen them struggle to score on their own when they've fooled their goalie and they're behind one. There's got to be some statistic for how many times the Kings have been scored on versus they've scored when one of the teams has the goalie pulled. Like, it's just, it can't be great. Just historically, you know, they don't play the full 60 minutes. They sit back. They let the other team get back into it. Let them get some confidence. And then surprise, Torrey Krug scores on you with 7 seconds left. So this is what we need to see from this team, is finding ways to win these games that you probably shouldn't have won. You know, it's one thing to come away with that, you know, the fantastic win over Montreal, where the Kings really had a strong performance, where it didn't feel like at any point the game was in doubt that they were going to lose that one. Those games are great. More often than not, though, we see the games like the one against the Jets at the beginning of the homestand, where the Kings had the lead and then threw it away at the end of the game. So seeing this outcome from the game against St. Louis, especially knowing that St. Louis is a team that just last month was very frustrating. 7-3 was the first loss. 3-0 was the second loss. The Kings just could not figure out St. Louis. The speed was too much for them. They were too good at getting out, you know, behind the Kings defense and in alone on whoever the goaltender was, doesn't matter. We weren't seeing them having a lot of success. And in this game, they found a way to make it work. And thank goodness they won this one in the shootout, because the narrative around this team would be way different had they managed to blow that one. On this homestand that they've been on since that game with the Jets, they only have one loss, which was the game against the Jets. They have 3 wins in a row now, Montreal, Buffalo. St. Louis. One more game in this homestand against the New Jersey Devils, who are coming to town tomorrow night. And we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. But for as frustrating as that, you know, what, 6-7 game losing streak was, this is just as important to see this team bouncing back. They go on the road next week against Montreal again. They play Ottawa. They play the Jets again. Good friend Jack Campbell potentially in net for Montreal. So it's the run through Canada. And two of those four games, I'm going to go ahead and say Montreal and Ottawa, two of those four games should be winners for this team. So if they can come out of this upcoming road trip with at least two wins, I think we're going to be pretty happy with those results. Up next, we're going to take a quick look at just some other news, the standings, some other player movement and stuff. We're not going to talk about Jack Eichel because I don't care. That is coming up next on Locked On Los Angeles Kings. One other stat about the shootout that I wanted to bring up, and this comes courtesy of Ryan Sykes. The last time the Los Angeles Kings won in a shootout, February 18th, last season against Arizona. So it has been, it's been a while. I feel like when you get to the shootout, particularly if it is Jonathan Quick in net, and he was great in this game, we won't talk about the like totally flubbed shootout goal against him. He has been much better, I think, than any of us had anticipated to start this season. And there's a reason why Todd McClellan now keeps coming back to him, because he is the one who is winning games for us right now. So February 18th is the last time the Kings won a shootout. So also very good to see those final results. Obviously, it is November. It is way too early to be standings watching, because if you are, you think that Buffalo is a playoff contender and that all this wild stuff is happening. Again, too early for that. But the Kings are slowly creeping up the standings. They're fifth in the Pacific right now, 9 points. They're 4-5-1, which, you know, based off of that losing streak, I don't know that we would have thought we would be looking like this. But instead, they are slowly inching their way up the standings. They're ahead of Vegas, which is really all that matters to me, is that the Kings continue to stay out ahead of Vegas, just because Vegas being bad is really funny. They're closing in on Anaheim and San Jose, and no, I too have no idea how Anaheim and San Jose are where they are, but you know, crazier things have happened, I guess. And again, it's November. Things can change drastically, but right now the Pacific is not looking anything like I think any of us expected it to look, which is somewhat concerning, but mostly funny. It's mostly just funny. So I am excited because it feels a little bit like the team, maybe turn a corner is too much, but it feels like they're suddenly starting to get all of the pieces back together. They're figuring out how to win these games like the ones against the Blues. They're figuring out how to play the full 60-minute effort, which is a problem that has plagued this team for ages. So I think that the outlook is positive right now. And the fact that they're doing this without Drew Doughty, without Sean Walker. Cale Klig, we talked about him previously in previous shows. He has been looking really good. He is finally showing what I have wanted to see from Cale Klig for, you know, ever since he first had his chance at the NHL. He is, you know, showing, you know, good decisions on the power play. He's moving the puck. He is good at creatively keeping the puck in the zone on the power play. And I have a lot more confidence in him in this go round than I have in previous seasons when he's been up in the NHL. There has been some player movement for the Kings. One of them, Andreas Athanasiou, has been activated from injured reserve. Elias Anderson apparently is hurt again. He didn't play much towards the end of the game against the Blues, so we would expect to see him back out of the lineup. There have been a couple of paper transactions. Again, Klig and Strand go back down to Ontario. Turcotte technically gets the call-up along with Kachev. Is there a chance that Turcotte could play? I mean, maybe. He's been doing good in Ontario. I think it would be interesting. I don't know how likely it is. All of the typical Kings media sources say that it's just a paper move, but you know, what if it isn't? What if it isn't? I think that could be fun. certainly has to be a stronger option than maybe some of what we've got going right now. But for now, they're technically on the Kings roster. We'll, of course, see things get shuffled around a little more closer to game day. The other big thing is that Drew Doughty has moved to long-term injured reserve. Nothing big there. That's really just, that's a money thing. That's a making room on the roster thing for Athanasiou to come back. Doesn't change anything about the prognosis or the outlook for him. It's all just money and cap and roster management. So just your typical pregame shenanigans, let's say, as we get ready for the next game for the Kings, which is Friday against the New Jersey Devils. On tomorrow's show, we're going to be talking with Trey Matthews, who is host of Locked On Devils, all about his team, what we can expect from them. They do have a player they just called up from the AHL, Alex Holtz, who was, I believe, a 2020 draft pick. He's a 19-year-old forward. And is getting his first call up to the NHL. So we could possibly see him in the game on Friday. New Jersey's been in LA, California, Southern California all week. They lost Anaheim at the beginning of the week, a 4-0 shutout. So we'll hear all from Trey tomorrow about what happened in that game and what we can look forward to with the Kings going forward. So we'll get his predictions. We'll get some players to watch. And if there's anything you'd like to know about the Devils, feel free to tweet it at me at @LockedOnLAKings. Would love to hear your questions and get them on the show. I think that about wraps it up for today. I've got a cool thing coming at you next week about some of the Kings initiatives that they're doing, working with youth players in Mexico City. We're going to talk about that. I got a special interview that I'm really excited to bring you next week. And we've got a busy schedule. Next week is that Canada trip. There's a lot of games on the roster, a lot of points that we can pick up on that trip through Canada. So let's just hang tight, see what happens Friday, and go from there. That has been it for this edition of Locked On Los Angeles Kings. In the meantime, make sure you're subscribed to the show on whatever your favorite podcast app of choice is. Go hit the big subscribe or follow button on whatever you're using, and make sure you never miss another episode. This show is on Twitter at Locked On LA Kings. Go give it a follow, say hello, and I usually tweet about the games, tweet some other random thoughts and observations and stuff, and you can come say hi to me. I always love hearing from listeners and getting to answer your questions on Twitter and on the show. So that's it for today. Now that you're done here, go on and make your second listen of the show, Locked On Fantasy Hockey, because Locked On Fantasy Hockey is brought to you by host Scott Cullen, who leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It is free and available on all platforms, so go check it out. Until next time, have a great day, and this has been Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.